Today, we continue with lesson number 4 in our ongoing study of Mishnayos, Meseches Challah. Today, we will cover Challah Perek Aleph, Mishnayos Vov and Zayin, the first chapter of Meseches Challah, Mishnayos 6 and 7. Hami'iso, if a person prepares a pastry called me'isa, which is defined as flour, balls of flour, which is placed into boiling water. So it's little dough balls. Beishamai potrinu veishilel mechayv. Beishamai says that's not obligated nechala, whereas Beis Hillel says it is. Hachalito, a different type of pastry, where boiled water is poured onto dough, onto flour. Here, Beis Shammai mechayvin u Beis Hillel poter. Beis Shammai obligates the person who prepares this chalita in challah, and Beis Hillel exempts him from challah. Now, it's very hard to understand this Mishnah at the surface level, because there really should be no difference, halachically, between me'isa or chalita. What difference does it make if you take the dough, sorry, not the dough, the flour, and put flour into hot water, or pour the hot water onto the flour? And why would Beis Shammai hold in one situation potur, and the other situation chayav, and Beis Hillel the opposite? The Gemara Meseches Psochim, Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, explains that this Mishnah is Mishe Shona Zo, Lo Shona Zo. That to make it consistent, we have to understand it in the following way. There are two different Tanoim here, two different opinions. One opinion is that for Me'isa and for Chalita, Beis Shammai Potrin u Beis Hillel Mechayv. And the other opinion is, for Chalita and for Me'isa, Beis Shammai Mechayvin u Beis Hillel Potrin. The Mishnah continues, Chalos Toda Urukike Nozir. If a person brings a Korban Toda, Thanksgiving offering, so among the things which he brings are various Chalos, breads, as the Pasuk says, in Parshas Tzav, V'hikriv al zevach ha-todo chalos matzos belulos bashemen rukike matzos mishuchim bashomen. He brings chalos and rukikin, breads and biscuits, smeared or mixed with oil. Does he have to give challah from these chalos which he brings to accompany his zevach korban todo? Rukike nozir. Similarly, in Parshas Noso, the Torah tells us that a Nozer, when he's through with his Nazirus, brings a Korban, and part of the Korban is Sal Matzos Soles Chalos Belulos Bashemen, Urkike Matzos Mishuchim Bashomen. He too brings Chalos, breads mixed with oil, and Rikikim biscuits anointed or smeared with Shemen. Does he have to give Challah from these breads or biscuits? It's traditional in the Mishnah to refer to the Toda breads as Chalos and to the Nozir's breads as Rekikim, even though for the Korban Toda one brings, as the Pasuk says, Chalos and Rekikim, and for the Nozir he brings Rekikim and Chalos. But that's the Loshon HaMishnah. So the Mishnah says, Ason Liatzmo, if a person is himself bringing a Korban Toda, or he himself is a Nozir and bringing these breads, then he's potter from challah, because he's making these breads for his toda, was for his nazirus. He's making them l'shem hegdish. When he rolled the dough, he rolled them l'shem hegdish to make them korbonos. And by challah, the posuk says, reishis arisoy seichem, that you only have to give challah from your dough, not from the isa, the dough, which belongs to hegdish. However, limkor bashuk, suppose a person is an enterprising individual, and he wants to bake chalos and rekikim and sell them to people who might need them for the korban toda, or for nazirim who need it for their korbanos. So in his case, when he's rolling the dough, he'd like to be able to sell it to customers. But of course, if he finds no customers who need korbanos, whether toda or nazirim, so he will eat it himself, or he'll sell them stam to someone who wants bread. So his intention is not to roll the dough here into bread only for the purposes of Hegdish. He's open to all customers, open to the best price. So therefore, he is obligated to give challah from these challos or rekikim. The Mishnah now goes on, Mishnah Zayin, to speak about a nachtom, a baker, a professional baker who has a bakery, she'osa sa'or l'chalik, who has manufactured from his dough, sourdough, also known as yeast, well, not exactly yeast, but sourdough, dough which can in turn ferment and be machmitz other dough, cause it to rise more quickly, more effectively. So if he has made a large amount of sa'or, sufficient to be obligated in challah, but his intention is to break it down into small bits and to sell each bit to a woman who's baking, who needs this sourdough for herself. So chayav b'chalo, he's obligated in chalo, because the quantity he has made is the quantity sufficient to be obligated in chalo. And if he finds no customers, he'll bake it himself. If he finds customers, he'll break it down into smaller bits. So he is chayav in chalo. Noshim shenosnu l'nachtom la'asos lohem sa'or. Suppose that the number of women who gave flour to a professional baker, asking him to make for them sa'or, sourdough, and the nachtom, the baker, took from Yentl and from Basha and from Sora and from Rivka and from Rachel, from each one a small bit of flour, from each one not a sufficient amount for to be obligated in challah. But once he puts the flour that each of them gave to him into water and starts to roll it and eventually to produce sourdough, he has in the dough now more than the sufficient quantity to be obligated in challah. Nevertheless, he does not have to be mafrish challah, unless one of the women gave him a sufficient amount to be obligated in challah. But im ein b'shalachas mehem kashir, in our Syrian scenario, neither in Sora, nor in Yente, nor in Bela, nor Rivka, nor Rachel gave him a sufficient flour to be obligated in challah. But only the aggregate of each of them is enough to be for him to be chayav in challah. Petura min hachallah. This is exempt from challah, this dough, because each woman wants her little bit back, and he has to give back each and every one. So even though he's baking, rolling the dough, rather, not baking, but rolling the dough into a large, large quantity to make sa'or, to make sourdough, but his ultimate intention is to break it back down and to give a piece to each of the women who contributed flour to him. Therefore, that's not considered having a sufficient amount, and that dough is exempt from challah. And so we have completed lesson number 4.